My name is Alan Morris, and today we're going to be talking and teaching about the book of 2 Timothy. I really believe this book is not a book, it's a letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. And it was the last letter that he wrote. And this is a stirring epistle. And if a person doesn't understand this epistle, he will never be able to understand the Word of God. And you'll be going through this, and it's just tremendous. And so get your Bibles out. Get them out and get your pencils and papers out, because this is a tremendously important letter that you should understand. Because if you don't have this understanding that's in this book, this letter, you will be finding yourself lacking and making mistakes that could be totally, totally devastating in your life. So, we're going to start with 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to start off with verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. We've talked about this many times, and we're not going to go back to where this happened. But you write this verse down, Acts chapter 9, verses 15. You'll find this is where Paul was called by God to be the apostle for the Gentiles. And you'll find that there. So we'll go on from that, because I think you folks have probably heard this before. So anyway, if you haven't, go to Acts chapter 15 in your spare time. Verses 15. Chapter 9, verses 15. It says, according to the promises of life, which is in Christ Jesus. The promises of life. We've got to understand what he talks about in this epistle, which he has referred to in all his writings, but he really delineates it this time, and you've got to understand it. And this is eternal life for you to be able to understand what he's talking about in this epistle, which is in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, you see. It's what he did is what saved us, see. It's what he did, not who he was. It's what he did. He pointed to what he did when he preached the gospel, when Paul preached the gospel, that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. That's the gospel that Paul preached, and only the gospel that he preached for salvation. Because Jesus pointed to what he did on that cross, because if he hadn't died on that cross to pay the sin debts for mankind, we would all have no chance whatsoever. And because of what he did is why we're saved, if we believe it. And all he asks you to do is believe what he did on that cross for you. He died for your sins. He was buried, and he rose from the dead. Verse 2, it says, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. He actually wasn't his biological son, but he was his spiritual son. He was tremendously important to Paul's ministry. Timothy was just, he was a little Paul, you might say. He followed him, and he taught with him, and he became a pastor. He was everything to Paul. And he's writing this letter knowing for a fact that he's never going to see him again. You see, this letter was written in prison in Rome, in Nero's prison. He was in death row. That's where he was. And he knew it. And he knew he wasn't going to get out of it. And he wrote this letter to Timothy so that he could teach these precepts to everybody and get this letter out to everybody that they could understand what true salvation really is. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, he said, grace and mercy and peace from God our Father and the Christ Jesus our Lord. He preached grace to Timothy. The grace, and this is what he preached, the gospel of grace. And that's the only thing he preached. And what that means, grace means, you heard me say it, but I'm going to say it till God takes me home. Grace means unmerited favor. In other words, there's nothing that you can do for salvation because Christ has already done it on the cross. And God does not want are going to not allow anybody to say, I've done this for my salvation, because Jesus did it all. You don't add to what Christ did on the cross. I've told people that when you think you're going to work for your salvation, all you're doing is telling Jesus that what he did on that cross wasn't sufficient for you. You've got to do something yourself. What do you mean by that, Al? Well, have you ever had a pastor tell you had to be baptized to be saved? That's not grace. That's works. We don't have to be baptized to be saved. You don't add baptism to your salvation. If you do, Christ will have no benefit from you whatsoever. And you can say many things that the churches today tell you. You've got to join a certain church. You've got to be baptized a certain way. I've had people tell me you've got to be baptized 3 times. Once for the Father, once for the Son, and once for the Holy Ghost. And if you're not, you're not saved. I can tell you by the Word of God, if you do it once, you're not saved. If you do it for your salvation. Salvation is only the grace of God, what he did, not what man did, but what he did it all, and he did it totally all, totally. So he talks to his son, to Paul is talking to Timothy, and he said, I thank God, verses 3, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. Think about where Paul's at right now. He's in Rome. He's in Nero's prisons. He has a guard that is chained to him every day, and they go on 12-hour shifts. And this guard, you think he ever left there without knowing the gospel? I don't think so. Paul said that Romans had taken the gospel throughout the whole known world at that time. These guards did as they went to their tour duties throughout the whole Roman Empire. He said not only throughout the whole Roman Empire, but he said even in Nero's house, there are believers there, in his own home, in his own house. He prayed. That's all he could do was pray there. He had a testimony for the gospel everywhere, every day. There's no doubt about that. And he wrote this letter there, and probably several others too. But anyhow, we know this is his last letter, and he was praying for Timothy, and it was a horrible place to be. But you couldn't tell it by listening to him. You know, you couldn't tell him. He wasn't totally discouraged. Oh, yes, he was. He had tears in his eyes, no doubt, when he thought about Timothy. He said, verses 4, says, greatly desiring to see thee. See, can you imagine this? Now, he knows, and being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. You see, no doubt, the last time that they met, Paul probably told him, he said, that we're not going to meet again. And Timothy had tears in his eyes because Paul meant everything to him. He knew that he wasn't going to be able, that he wasn't going to get out of this situation, and that he was going to lose his life. And Timothy had tears in his eyes and remembers that. And it was a gut-wrenching experience, there's no doubt. He said, when I call to remembrance the sincere faith. What faith is he talking about when he always talks about faith? It's always the gospel. It's always the gospel. I think it's probably we ought to look at that. It's important. You see, people think, well, it's always faith in Jesus. No, it's faith in what he did, because what he did is what saved us. Without him dying on that cross, it wouldn't make any difference who you had faith in. He had to die, and that's why he pointed to the gospel for salvation for the body of Christ. He didn't point to believing in Jesus. He didn't point by taking Jesus as your Savior. He pointed to the gospel that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. Turn to Colossians. Turn back to the left. To Colossians chapter 1, of my favorite books in the Bible and my favorite chapters in the Bible. And look what it says in verse 21. This is Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, and you mark this dearly in your Bibles. This is a tremendous verse. And when you think about faith, you'll know for sure what God, what Paul, when he said faith, what he was talking about. Look what he says. And you, he's talking about Al Morse, he's talking about you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Who reconciled? Christ did. How did he do it? Verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death. See, we were reconciled through his death, not believing in him. It was through his death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Think about that. We are presented because of what Christ did on that cross, paying for our sins. We can stand before God holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. But there's an if here. Just like in the gospel, there was an if. You had to keep it in memory. You had to believe it. And here's an if here. If you continue in the faith. What's the faith? Go on. Grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. You see, it's the hope of the gospel. That's what faith is. Putting your hope in the gospel. That Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. That's salvation for the body of Christ. The gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature under, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Just beyond your imagination, isn't it? You see, the world hasn't caught on, but it's just as plain as day. Our salvation is based on the faith, and what the faith is the gospel, and it's been preached to every person under heaven. And Paul was made the minister. That's all he did, was preach the gospel. I told my pastor of 30 years, I've been sitting in underneath for 30 years, and I've never heard the gospel preached once. And I was under many pastors in my lifetime, and I've never heard the gospel preached. But that's all Paul preached, and that's the only salvation. Where is the salvation in the churches today? It's in Judaism. And it has nothing to do with the body of Christ. And nobody is going to go to heaven without believing the gospel for their salvation. I'll prove it to you. Nobody. Even the Old Testament saints, from Adam all the way through Noah, all the way from there to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then we go to Moses. And then we go to Joshua, and the judges, and the kings, David and Solomon. All the Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, the prophets, all of them, even all the way to John the Baptist, every one of those people, when they died, they didn't go to heaven. They couldn't go to heaven because the price, the sin debt hadn't been paid for. They went to paradise. This is what the book says. They went to paradise. And paradise isn't hell, but it isn't heaven, see. They couldn't go to heaven until Christ paid the sin debt for everybody. And when he died on that cross and he was in the grave, his soul and his spirit went down to paradise, and he preached to those people and said, look, now I have paid the sin debt, and if you believe it, he says, I'm going to take you to heaven. And they did. And he took them to heaven. Heaven wouldn't have no person in there until Christ died on that cross. No one is going to heaven unless you believe this gospel. It's just the way it is. And nobody has been gone to heaven until they believe this gospel. So that's how important it is. That's how important it is. It's tremendously, tremendously important. So let's go back to the text. Go back to the text. We're looking at 2 Timothy. And we're in chapter 1 and verses 5. It says, when I call unto remembrance the unfeigned, that means sincere faith, or the gospel, which is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and then thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Therefore, I put thee into remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. What is he talking about? What is he talking about? Well, Timothy was the first pastor of the church of Ephesus, and Paul laid his hands upon him and anointed him as a pastor. And he was the pastor of the church of Ephesus. And that's what he wanted him to continue to do. You know, even though we're going to find out some horrible things has happened, but he still had to continue in the gospel. No matter what happened, he was going to continue in preaching the gospel. Paul was just adamant about that. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear. Here he is in death row. He's in death row in Nero. And Nero is the worst emperor that ever ruled in Rome. He was the meanest, the hatefulest person in the world. He was another Hitler. And he's sitting in his death chamber. But he says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. See, Paul didn't have to fear death. And we're going to see this. We'll talk about it a little longer. But of the power, not of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. See, how did he have that? How could we have that power? How could he have that power now where he's at? How could Timothy? We're going to see he's going through living hell at this time also. And how do they have that power? Let's go back to Colossians again, the first chapter. Colossians again, the first chapter. I want you to be able to go there. You can go there and answer most all questions, but it's fantastic. And let's look at chapter 1, and let's look at verses 29, and we're going to show you where the power that he had at this time. Verse 29. No, is it verse 20, 28 and 29? Let's go to 27 first. Okay. To whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. What is the mystery among the Gentiles that he's talking about? Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's how he could do it. Christ was living in him. Literally. You see, when you believe the gospel, the second you believe the gospel in Ephesians 1:13, mark that down. Ephesians 1:13, it says, when you believe the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, he's talking to Ephesians, but they were Gentiles, and we are too. The gospel is the gospel of your salvation. And when you believed it, what happened? You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And when you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, that's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 28 says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. You see, the gospel, when you believe the gospel, it will present you perfect in Christ Jesus. Why? Because he's going to live in you. He's going to walk with you. He's going to live in your body, in you, your soul and spirit. And he's going to talk through you. He's going to teach through you. He's going to walk with you. And he'll never point you to sin. And he'll lift you up no matter what situation you're in. He lives in you. And that's how Paul could be in Nero's prison and say, he's not given us the spirit of fear. We don't have to fear. We got God living in us. And he gives us a sound mind. How did he do that? Because he lives in us. How wonderful. The churches today don't understand that, see? They don't understand it at all. They think that they've got to be preaching, telling you how to live a Christian life and what you've got to do. No, they don't. They just have to preach the gospel, and then God will take care of that. God will never point you to sin. He'll always point you to a closer walk with Jesus. You see, sin isn't a problem when a person believes the gospel because God lives in you. You won't want to sin. That's the last thing you'll want to do. You just won't want to. And if you don't want to do it, you won't do it. And I'm not saying we never make a mistake, but I'm saying the grace of God is sure sufficient to make up the difference. And he'll pick you up as a believer and take you right on down to that closer walk with him. Look at verses 8. Be not there, therefore, this is back to the text again, in chapter 1, verses 8. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. See, his prisoner, but be the partakers of the affliction of the gospel, according to the power of God. To the power of God. What is the power of God? I'm not going to make you turn to it, but in Romans 1:16, write this down. In Romans 1:16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it, the gospel, see, is the power of God unto salvation for those that believe. You see, he didn't say that those that believe and do something. He didn't say you believe and to believe and be baptized, to believe and join a church, or believe in speaking in tongues, or believe in praying to Mary or praying to the saints. He just said believe the gospel. You see, and that's the power of God. The power of God is salvation for those who believe the gospel. And this is what he's telling us, according to the power of God, according to his gospel. You see, so we're going to be partakers of the affliction. We're going to have problems when we teach the gospel, but that's okay. We have the power of God living in us, and you'll have it living in you. And no matter what trials and tribulations you go through, you'll have the power of God in you to withstand anything that Satan throws at you. Look at verses 9. Who has saved us, see, and has called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Remember I told you, our salvation is based not on our works. It's on what the grace of God, it's what he did, see. It's not according to works, but according to his own purpose and grace. See there, I wasn't lying to you. It says right here, it's according to his purpose and the grace of God. That's what our salvation is based on, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now think about that. Before the world began, he had already called us. You see, before the world began. Let's turn to Ephesians. Turn back to the left. Put your hand where we're at. And go back to the left to Ephesians. And look at just chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And just look at verses 4. Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 4, it says, according he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. You see, before this world has ever existed, he knew every human being on this earth that was going to believe the gospel. Because these are the people that are going to live with him for eternity. And he already had them picked out. And you see, God couldn't allow me to die until he gave me the gospel. It was impossible. Because he had already chosen me. And that's why I'm teaching. Because there's people out there that the churches aren't teaching it. See, he's having to go to faithful men to teach the gospel because the churches aren't teaching it. And that's why God had called me to teach this gospel, because there's people out there he's chosen has never heard the gospel. And now he's going to speak through me. God's going to speak through me to tell these people, show them the gospel. And that's what he's doing, and that's what's happening. I'm seeing thousands of people coming to the gospel because of what Christ hath spoken through me. It has nothing to do with me, because I only plagiarize his book. You see, I'm just telling you what the book says. Not what I say, it's what the book said. He has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. How wonderful. What a wonderful thought that is. Before the foundations of the world. Now let's go to verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. Now listen to this. Listen to this carefully. Christ has abolished death for us. We don't have to worry about death, those that believe the gospel. We got the Spirit of God living in us. The Spirit of God can't die. Because the same Spirit that lives in me now was the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. This is Romans chapter 8, verses 11. And that same Spirit will raise my mortal body also, just like it raised Christ. Did Christ die? Yes, he did. But Christ, God raised him up, and he'll raise me up also. See, there's no ifs and buts about it. He abolished death and brought life. and immortality. See, we're immortal now. When you believe the gospel, you're immortal. You can't die. Why? To light. How do you do it? By believing in Jesus? By taking Jesus as your Savior? By being baptized? By speaking in tongues? No. Through the gospel. Read it. Through the gospel. That's how he did it. The gospel. The greatest thing that ever given to mankind. And people have totally ignored it. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. Back to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15. I hope we've got the chance to do this. And look what it says. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, not a gospel, the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and by which you stand, and by which also you are saved. Just as plain as day. Now, what is that gospel? But it says, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, you've got to believe it, unless you believed in vain. So here's what it is. For I deliver you first of all, which ye also received. He received directly from Jesus Christ, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. That's the gospel. That's salvation for the body of Christ. When Jesus called out a whole new group of people after the Jews had totally rejected him, and they killed him, and they also tried to kill everybody that believed in him. And after when they stoned Stephen, I think God said, that's enough. And he called out Saul of Tarsus and started this new church called the Body of Christ. And he became Paul as an apostle. And he spread this gospel to every person under heaven. Every person under heaven. How wonderful. We'll have to stop there, and so let us pray. Father, we praise you and thank you so much for all that you've done for us. Open our eyes up and open our thinking up so we can understand your word and believe the gospel for our salvation. I pray that in Jesus' precious name. Amen.